The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Take a look at this map put out by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It shows the level of community transmission of COVID in America right now. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's sort of a dark joke. It's a pretty clear map. Solid red in all 50 states. We're hitting new records as daily case counts across the country soar to the highest level we've ever seen. You can see on this chart, the line is just practically going straight up. The Omicron variant is just much more transmissible than the previous variants. You know, the risk, the personal risk of being exposed to this went from something that we hadn't really dealt with specifically like this before in our lifetimes. We hadn't quite had an illness this infectious and this possible to cause serious illness to something that does look more like the flu. And the flu, of course, can still be dangerous, kills tens of thousands of Americans every year, but we don't orient our lives around the flu.
I think he's about 2 years late. The flu? That's a left-wing commentator talking about the COVID virus as being like the ordinary flu that, by the way, does kill tens of thousands of people every year. You can see the messaging is changing and changing dramatically. We'll get into that hurriedly because we've got some big time montages to conclude this calendar year with. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. So I mentioned the change or the shift in messaging. It started really with Joe Biden saying to those governors, we played the clip a few days ago, that there's no federal solution to this. In other words, we failed. There's no way we're going to stamp it out. He vowed to stop the virus, to shut down the virus. He said it over and again, all through 2020. And now look at the infection rates. Yesterday in the United States of America, more than 600,000 new cases of COVID. 600,000. You know what it was at this time last year? December 30th of 2020, it was 228,000 cases. Less than 40% of what it was yesterday, and we're 2 years in. It was all supposed... These are the people that said, hey, lockdowns, masks, what else? Social distancing, vaccines, boosters, and then, of course, the Biden administration. All of that together. No problem. They're going to shut down the virus. And now you hear this. Now you hear this on MSNBC. Listen again to Chris Hayes from the other night. Clip two.
Look at the UK, okay? That's a place that has instituted both of those policies. It's got one of the highest booster rates in the entire world, and it's got a lot of testing. And that has not stopped an Omicron outbreak. I mean, look at that chart. In the end, that's what things look like. When you look at that country that has deployed boosters and rapid testing better than we did, they are still having an insane outbreak.
An insane outbreak. The line's just like in the United States. It's going straight up. Even with all the boosters, even with all the lockdowns, even with all the social distancing, can't stop it. No wonder Biden is finally admitting, yeah, there's no federal solution. I'll leave it to you states. You guys can try it. And meanwhile, most of America is just going on with their lives. They're going on with their lives. Listen to Fauci. This is from this week as well. Clip three.
But the other important thing is that if you look at the children who are hospitalized, many of them are hospitalized with COVID as opposed to because of COVID. And what we mean by that, if a child goes in the hospital, they automatically get tested for COVID and they get counted as a COVID hospitalized individual, when in fact they may go in for a broken leg or appendicitis or something like that. So it's overcounting the number of children who are, quote, hospitalized with COVID.
So hospitalized with COVID. Now that's overcounting. Where was that argument 18 months ago? You heard it on this program. There's a big difference, even in death counts. Dying with COVID? There he is, Fauci. Even Fauci now is saying, now hang on a second. Just because these children are being hospitalized, it doesn't mean they're being hospitalized because of COVID. It's just that they're tested when they come in, and so they're there with a broken leg or something like that, and it's with COVID. This is a pretty dramatic change in messaging. Perhaps, of course, it's still going to be all vaccine all the time, but perhaps they've reached near saturation point with all COVID all the time. The poll numbers for this illegitimate administration must be dreadful if you see this kind of messaging, if you see this kind of commentary, because you certainly didn't hear it 18 months ago. It'll be interesting to see where they take this into the new year. Of course, the vaccine is still going to be, as I say, something that the government just applies so much pressure, not just in the U.S., but all over the world, Western nations in particular, as you'll see in these coming montages that we'll play for you. And then Dr. Robert Malone, he tweeted out or he made a statement recently. This is the first time in history that the ineffectiveness of a medicine is being blamed on those who haven't taken it. Right. The medicine is ineffective. How do you have 600,000 new cases yesterday if the medicine, the vaccine, is so effective? And so all that they have is vaccine this, and the problem is for those, or rather caused by those who are unvaccinated. The ones that haven't taken the ineffective medicine. Unbelievable. This first montage that we'll play for you. Again, how can you play end of the year montages without putting some of the focus on the COVID madness? Listen to this, and then we'll cut away to a break and come in for the second half on another montage that takes, as I said yesterday, a broader view of all that's been happening in this world of 2021. First, the COVID montage.
If we do all this, if we do our part, if we do this together, by July the 4th, there's a good chance you, your families and friends will be able to get together in your backyard or in your neighborhood and have a cookout or a barbecue and celebrate Independence Day.
If you're vaccinated, you can do all these things. Here are all these freedoms that you have.
We need to shun those that refuse to get vaccinated.
We want to give people a sense that they have the freedom to choose.
There should be more mandates. There really should be.
It needs to be hard for people to remain unvaccinated.
If you're a school teacher, if you're a nurse, if you're a cop, you need to get vaccinated. And if you don't, you need to look for another job.
Don't get the vaccine, you can't go to the supermarket. Don't have the vaccine, you don't show it, can't go to the ball game. Don't have the vaccine, can't go to work.
Many of us are frustrated with the nearly 80 million Americans who are still not vaccinated. But our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. For the vast majority of you who've gotten vaccinated, I understand your anger at those who haven't gotten vaccinated. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. This is not about freedom or personal choice. If these governors won't help us beat the pandemic, I'll use my power as president to get them out of the way.
That he should approach this with an iron fist.
There comes a time when you do have to give up what you consider your individual right of making your own decision.
Look, you can stay unvaccinated if you want, but you're not going to be able to travel to see your family.
Screw your freedom.
Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on. Freedom.
The federal government needs to require vaccines, including booster shots, for everyone in America. So it's time to admit that we have to go to war against COVID. Require vaccination universally. Have the military run it.
And so everybody talks about freedom and not to have a shot or have a test. Well, guess what? So how about patriotism? How about making sure that you're vaccinated so you do not spread the disease to anybody else? What about that? What's the big deal? You're not going to get COVID if you have it.
these vaccinations.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. The vaccines will get us to the end of this.
If the unvaccinated get vaccinated, they will protect themselves and other unvaccinated people around them.
And sadly, a proportion of the elderly and vulnerable may still succumb even if they have had two jabs.
Literally, the only people dying are the unvaccinated.
We're saying try and save your life and that of your family and that of the community.
This is a pandemic, really, of the unvaccinated.
It's just obvious. If the unvaccinated are not to blame, who is?
Fortunate that the vaccinated people are paying a price for the actions of the unvaccinated.
This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
We're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers.
A pandemic of the unvaccinated.
About it is, as we've said, a pandemic and an outbreak of the unvaccinated.
Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones, but you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say I'm vaccinated.
It's going to be vaccines that are going to solve this problem, Wolf.
Why? I'm vaccinated, but I also have COVID. Three vaccinated people got COVID in my house. The bottom line is we were still able to get it and transmit it, and the government hasn't been warning about that.
Oh, yes, I am. We have.
But the CDC doesn't even track the breakthrough infections.
We're going to continue protecting the vaccinated.
Getting jabbed, not just for themselves, for ourselves, but for friends and family and everyone we meet. And that, after all, is the teaching of Jesus Christ.
For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death. For yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm.
The player collapsed during practice.
Collapsing during the game.
Collapsing on the tennis court.
He collapsed.
A player has just collapsed.
Well, it seems that there's a second player who's collapsed.
This is unusual.
I've never seen anything like this. Yeah, what's going on?
This is really disturbing.
High school senior is in the hospital after collapsing on the tennis courts.
Breaking new details on the deaths of a high school soccer player.
Finland, Denmark star man Christian Eriksen collapsing towards the end of the first half.
A South Carolina high school football player has died after collapsing at football practice.
17-year-old Ryan Jacobs' heart stopped.
Unexpectedly collapsed on the field.
Megan went into cardiac arrest.
17-year-old Blake Barklage died suddenly from a cardiac incident.
Senior football player who suddenly died in the midst of a game.
Yeah, the 15-year-old died last night while practicing with a soccer club.
Cause of Nicholas Lorenis's death still remains unclear tonight, but
a 16-year-old student from West Catholic Preparatory High School collapsed while warming up for a scrimmage.
The sudden death of a Little Rock Central High School football player has an entire community reeling tonight.
18-year-old Joshua Ivory Jr. collapsed here at the Southwest High School yesterday, but authorities still haven't determined why he died.
The 19-year-old collapsed during the football team's preseason conditioning Sunday.
17-year-old Jack Alcatib, he's a football player who died after practice yesterday. Cause of death hasn't been announced.
And a two-sport athlete from Keenan High School died suddenly overnight.
For a seventh grader who collapsed and died during basketball practice at Chartiers Valley Middle School last week.
Paul was found dead Friday morning around 7 a.m. at his home. Coroner Larry Harris tells WCBI no cause of death has been confirmed.
Israeli health officials released a report showing that vaccinated young people, particularly young men, we're developing a potentially fatal complication, a heart inflammation called myocarditis. Dr. Peter Liu is the chief scientific officer at the University of Ottawa Heart Institute. He's an expert in myocarditis. Liu began to notice heart inflammation in patients who'd received the vaccine. It is more than coincidental, he said.
I mean, I have a lot of interaction with the cardiology community across the UK. And anecdotally, I've been getting told by colleagues that they are seeing younger and younger people coming in with heart attacks.
But you could get still infected and have virus in your nasopharynx, which means that even though you're vaccinated, you feel well, you could conceivably spread it to someone else. So that's the main reason for wearing the mask even though you've been vaccinated.
Once someone's been fully vaccinated, is it a free pass? Can they loosen up on wearing masks or washing their hands?
No.
If you and a friend or you and a family member are both vaccinated, you can have dinner together wearing masks without distancing.
Andrew, I'm fully vaccinated. I still wear a mask.
If you've been fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask.
If you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
It's vaxxed or masked.
The CDC hasn't changed, and the CDC hasn't really flip-flopped at all.
The CDC recommends you wear a mask when you're in public and indoors. That's true for both the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. We'll double the fines on travelers that refuse to mask. If you break the rules, be prepared to pay. And by the way, show some respect.
Are we going to get to the point where we won't have to wear masks on airplanes?
I don't think so.
Cloth masks are little more than facial decorations. There's no place for them in light of...
Masks are not appropriate for this pandemic. It's not appropriate for Omicron. It was not appropriate for Delta, Alpha, or any of the previous variants either, because we're dealing with something that's airborne.
There will be no removal of masks to consume alcohol outdoors.
To protect the health system, we're going to lock out people who are not vaccinated and can be. But yes, there's going to be a vaccinated economy, and you get to participate that. You get to participate in that if you are vaccinated.
Queenslanders needing life-saving surgery. It's been revealed that patients will be denied that procedure unless they're fully vaccinated.
Anyone that is spitting, coughing or sneezing or threatens to do so, they can be issued with an infringement notice.
Fines will range from $1,300 to more than $13,000 for 6 months behind bars.
Police will be patrolling and conducting compliance checks.
When 400 of those notices were again for people being outside of their home without a reasonable excuse.
Army patrols hit the streets of Sydney on Monday to help enforce coronavirus curbs, have been tasked with going door to door, checking that people who have tested positive are isolating at home.
Hey!
Heavily armed police surrounded the mob, moving in with rubber bullets and tear gas, continuing Melbourne's dismal week of violence. Tested for COVID. He tested positive. He got put into this quarantine camp. I have a scooter and they ran my number plate. And they ran the number plate and seen the footage that I was with the person who had tested positive. And that's how they knocked on my door and knew where I lived from running my number plate. So then the police officers blocked my driveway. I walked out and I said, what's going on? Are you guys testing me for COVID? What's happening? They said, no, you're getting taken away and you have no choice. You're going to Howard Springs.
It's a $5,000 fine if what?
If you breach it.
If I walk out onto that path.
Three people have escaped from the Howard Springs COVID quarantine facility.
Now, major police checkpoints have been set up around Howard Springs for the past several hours. As you can see in these pictures, they've been conducting thorough searches in car boots, checking vehicle registrations, cars and buses alike.
They're being monitored daily through a government smartphone app, which uses facial recognition and geolocation technology.
It will alert you with, I guess, like an alarm sound, and it says it's time to check in.
With returnees from interstate having the option of being checked by a police patrol or monitored through the app.
We're acting on the public health order. You need to be outside for an essential reason. Laying on the beach, just having a sunbathe, like, it's not an essential reason to be outside.
Tragically, today we announced the deaths of seven people who have lost their lives to COVID-19. One person was not vaccinated. Three people had received one dose of a COVID vaccine, and three people had received two doses of a COVID vaccine.
This week, more small businesses have gone to the wall because we have made it a crime for people to work for themselves.
Simply not wanting the vaccine is not a reason. From Saturday, the 13th of November, if you have not received at least your first dose of a vaccine, you will not be permitted to attend your workplace in that role, and a failure to comply with the direction is a $5,000 fine.
If you support, champion, give a green light, give comfort to, support anybody who argues against the vaccine, you are an anti-vaxxer, absolutely.
If you want your life to continue close to normal, get your jab. For people who make the choice to not get vaccinated, no vax means no freedom pass.
You can now see family and friends again in their homes and use the bathroom inside. Stay local and do not congregate. Don't talk to your neighbours. Please keep to your bubbles. Variant that it can be spread by people simply walking past one another. So keep those movements outside to the bare minimum.
I don't think I'll ever be satisfied so long as there's someone who's who is eligible and hasn't been. And that's why I've said this, there's not going to be an end point to this vaccination program.
We have to put the communal responsibility ahead of individual preferences. But if they're not going to do that, sometimes you've got to do things that are unpopular, but that clearly supersede individual choices.
EU leaders have agreed to develop a COVID-19 vaccine passport.
Italy is the latest country in Europe to announce a vaccine certificate system. Green Pass will be needed to get into public venues like gyms and theatres and to eat indoors at a restaurant.
Olaf Scholz is getting behind mandatory vaccinations.
Austria's government has approved a new lockdown which will only apply to unvaccinated people.
Austria will become the first European nation to make vaccinations compulsory from February.
Unvaccinated people will be banned from many public facilities and non-essential shops.
Unvaccinated people are not able to go into restaurants, bars, shops now across the country.
Das wird gefällt, oder Alexa?
A special COVID health pass is needed to get into more places. Going to a restaurant, a bar, or catching a longer distance train, that all requires a QR code, which gives proof of vaccination.
This is what cafe culture now looks like in Paris. Police roaming the streets, checking that people have a license to dine. Patrons need to show proof of vaccination, immunity, or a negative test before taking a seat at their favourite cafe. France is hoping millions more will now roll up their sleeves for a bigger slice of freedom.
Everyone 12 or older on a plane or train within Canada should be fully vaccinated. Testing will no longer be an option. The right thing and gotten vaccinated, you deserve the freedom to be safe from COVID-19. The rules are very simple. To travel, you've got to be vaccinated.
At the train station in Montreal, Via Rail agents handed out these orange stickers to travelers who proved they're vaccinated.
But what's really going on inside these quarantine hotels? Travelers returning from banned countries are claiming they're being neglected.
You don't have fresh air, you can't exercise, you can't leave. The food is atrocious and it's not...
Then what the hell's going on here? I've had three tests. I have a right to know when my test is coming. No chance at all to say what I want.
Can't wait! Can't eat!
And so everybody talks about freedom and not to have a shot or have a test. Well, guess what? And so how about patriotism? What's the big deal?
No, I mean, come on. Freedom.
The Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical. But world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
All right, so we're making our way through the end of the year montages. We've prepared three of them. The first one, by the way, was yesterday. You can go to thetrumpet.com/live to watch that one. That one went on for about 50 minutes. An excellent review of America Under Attack, basically. We just posted that also on our YouTube channel. We haven't had much activity there in quite a few months, and YouTube has had quite a lot of activity there, just taking down all of our videos. In any event, hopefully it'll stay up, but if you want to go to YouTube and watch yesterday's show, you can get that or get to that at our YouTube channel. All right, the final montage that begins with the communist attack coming from the Wuhan lab and then takes you right through quite a few of these so-called natural disasters that have been going on all over the world, and then a pretty good snapshot or review of what has happened in various regional hotspots around the world as well.
But it surely is a big coincidence that this virus started not up in some remote mountain village with caves full of bats, but rather in downtown Wuhan.
And yes, I think a lot of people have egg on their face. This was an idea that was first put forward by Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, Donald Trump. And look, some things may be true even if Donald Trump said them.
These kinds of lab leaks happen all the time, actually. Even here in the United States, we've had mishaps.
Is that there seemed to be lack of openness to pursue both hypotheses. And yet, what we witnessed was the scientific community went on heavy to try to stop any open debate about the origin of this virus.
People forget that. But if you go back then, even though you lean towards feeling that this is more likely a natural occurrence, we always felt that you've got to keep an open mind, all of us. So I think it's a bit of a distortion to say that we deliberately suppress that. Because what I do, and I try very hard, is to be guided by the truth. And sometimes the truth becomes inconvenient for some people, so they react against me.
Because I represent science.
Dr. Fauci, do you still support funding of the NIH funding of the lab in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, with all due respect, you are entirely and completely incorrect that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute.
Fauci himself was implicated in the very pandemic he'd been charged with fighting. Fauci supported the grotesque and dangerous experiments that appeared to have made COVID possible. Fauci knew perfectly well that he had funded gain-of-function experiments at that very same laboratory.
We do not fund
Do you fund gain... Dr. Barrett's gain-of-function research?
Dr. Barrett does not doing gain-of-function research.
The emails prove that Fauci lied about this under oath. Attached to that email was a document. It was entitled, quote, Barrick, Shi et al., Nature Medicine, SARS gainoffunction.pdf.
A lot of what you're seeing as attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science. So if you are trying to, you know, get at me as a public health official and a scientist, you're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science. Science and the truth are being attacked.
Senator Cruz told the attorney general you should be prosecuted.
Yeah. I have to laugh at that. I should be prosecuted. What happened on January 6th, Senator?
This morning, Arctic air, power grids failing, and millions left to cope with the bitter cold. At least 20 people have died, including an 8-year-old girl and a woman.
Meanwhile, states across the West are facing dangerous drought conditions.
The first ever federal water shortage declaration for the Colorado River Basin.
107 at Portland International right now. That equals Portland's all-time record high.
In Oregon and Washington, more than 1,100 people have been treated for heat-related illnesses since the start of the heat wave. Across the region, rolling blackouts.
The extreme heat and ongoing drought in the West are combining to make for a very difficult fire season.
Then more than 65 major fires in western states that have burned close to 1 million acres so far.
We begin tonight with devastating weather in Tennessee. More than 20 people are dead. Dozens are missing after extreme flooding this weekend.
A record 17 inches of rain. Tonight, search and rescue teams are searching for the dozens of people still missing, including children.
We now have 22 individuals that have lost their life in this event.
But this is a disaster which spans nations. In Erftstadt, west of Cologne, several houses collapsed. Others are in jeopardy. But work to protect them was impossible with roads washed away.
There's so many people dead.
And with more rain predicted, the work of the emergency services won't be over anytime soon.
Welcome back to ABC News Live. Haiti is dealing with another blow this morning as we learn that a medical oxygen plant was damaged in the earthquake there, leaving it unable to provide oxygen to local hospitals. So far, that earthquake is estimated to have killed more than 2,000 people and left thousands more without homes.
Let's take you to the Philippines now, where the number of people who have died after a super typhoon hit last week has risen to more than 375. It's carnage in many areas, no power, no communication.
David, the fifth strongest hurricane to hit the U.S. mainland in recorded history.
The communities of Grand Island, Golden Meadow, and Matthews were the first hit by Ida's devastating force and are now the last to be rescued.
This isn't about being a Democrat or a Republican. We're Americans, and we'll get through this together.
Houses are only home to heartbreak. Those who could afford to lose the least have lost the most.
Multiple deaths reported as the remnants of Ida merged with the front to produce K-12.
chaos. For the first time in recorded history, the National Weather Service issuing a flash flood emergency for all five boroughs of New York City.
And roughly two dozen homes are destroyed in Mullica Hills, New Jersey, after a tornado touched down there overnight as part of the same storm system.
On the island of La Palma, rivers of molten rock are swallowing up people's lives and homes.
At least 350 houses have been entombed, and over 400 acres are buried.
Four people have been killed and dozens more injured in wildfires in southern Turkey.
Many neighborhoods were evacuated as flames engulfed homes and vehicles.
Scores of homes and businesses on Evia have been destroyed. Entire forests have been lost. They flee in boats and ferries, not knowing when or what, if anything, they might one day return to.
Search and rescue operations continue across Kentucky. More than 70 people in the state are confirmed dead.
Of the ones that we know, the age range is 5 months to 86 years, and six are younger than 18.
That's my dad. Sorry. But you just, I don't know where that came from.
I just want to say we are looking at the results of climate change.
And then, of course, add to that the fact that this is all part of this, scientists tell us, climate change.
You're going to hear a lot about climate change in the hours to come. And we should, because this is a climate change story.
The globe is at stake. We're about to have more deaths in a year in the globe because of climate change than all of the world wars in the last 100 years. Combined.
We must attack the cancer of climate change that is driving these destructive storms. Let me welcome the man who will lead us out of darkness, our great president, Joseph Robinette Biden.
You can make the world
as
once again full of hope, not fear. This is my message from Earth to come. On behalf of We the 15,
day of the president's overseas tour, and he was seen on camera with his eyes closed. It appears that perhaps he was dozing. These can be embarrassing situations. You have the contrast of leaders, including President Biden, calling for the urgency of these issues of addressing climate, and a moment like that in a session can be a political obstacle for him.
Sunday will mark the end of a political era in Germany when elections take place for a new leader to replace Angela Merkel as chancellor after 16 years.
She's going to remain in charge for the foreseeable future until they can come up with a coalition.
The centre-right CDU, now led by Armin Laschet, appears to be trailing Olaf Scholz's centre-left SPD.
There he is, Olaf Scholz. This has been a very tight election, and the exact makeup of Germany's next government is far from certain.
Today, Social Democrat Olaf Scholz took the reins of power from Angela Merkel, took the oath of office, and took his place in a new political chapter in Europe's largest democracy.
We're following breaking news right now. President Biden holding a high-stakes virtual meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin right now.
Russia is on maneuvers and wants the West to know about it.
New threats from Vladimir Putin, surrounded by his generals, demanding that NATO withdraw its troops from Eastern Europe.
Satellite images from the last 2 months show Russian battle groups training near the border.
Violent clashes erupting between Polish border forces and the migrants.
Belarusian dictator Alexander Lukashenko, angry at EU sanctions, is accused of trying to foment a crisis on Europe's doorstep as payback.
Russia sent two nuclear-capable long-range bombers to patrol the skies over Belarus. Part of its message to NATO to stay out of the region.
We're talking about the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. The project is almost complete, but opponents still haven't given up the fight against it, arguing that it's a geopolitical project and that it threatens European security.
Outrage from U.S. officials after Russia carried out a missile test early Monday.
The test has so far generated over 1,500 pieces of trackable orbital debris that now threaten the interests of all nations.
Biden has announced a deal with Great Britain to supply Australia with nuclear-powered submarines. France is furious. And it's not just the French who are ticked off now over this submarine deal. China's accusing the U.S. of stoking a new arms race. Chinese state media warning Australia that it's now an adversary. And to prepare for the worst,
China is once again criticizing the country staging a diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Winter Games. Its foreign ministry says those countries will pay a price for their, quote, mistaken acts.
This summer, it was reported that China began construction of what experts said were more than 100 new silos for intercontinental ballistic missiles.
We now have to start worrying about whether every Chinese satellite might not, in fact, be a disguised nuclear warhead.
China warning the United States not to, quote, play with fire when it comes to Taiwan.
Increasingly aggressive actions directed at Taiwan.
But Biden administration officials stopped short of guaranteeing U.S. military intervention. No. President Xi Jinping has vowed to never allow the self-governed democracy to become formally independent.
It's not just rhetoric. At this point, it's becoming action, military action.
And we will fight the war if we need to fight the war.
A massive cargo ship spending a third day stuck in Egypt's Suez Canal, clogging one of the busiest shipping routes in the world. You
know, there's about $3 billion worth of goods that normally would traverse this canal every single day.
This ship being stalled in the Suez is costing the globe billions of dollars.
Egypt says it hopes to be able to dislodge the ship soon and reopen the canal. But experts fear it could be weeks before that's possible.
A maritime accident with global implications.
It has been 3 months since President Biden ended American military involvement in the war in Yemen.
The U.S. Embassy compound in Yemen was stormed by Iran-backed Houthi rebels.
Using the raid to take hostages and equipment, I am deeply concerned for the safety of the Yemeni locals who were kidnapped while protecting our embassy.
We are extremely concerned by reports of detentions of some of our local Yemeni employees in Sana'a.
Employees of the U.S. Embassy in Sana'a, Yemen, still hostages of the vicious Iran-backed Houthi rebels.
Now let's talk about Ethiopia. It's under a state of emergency. A year-long conflict between the government and a rebel group is escalating. The government's telling people in the capital to take up arms.
Evidence emerging from the conflict in Ethiopia suggesting war crimes have been committed.
The whole community here is in mourning. As they burn the remnants of destruction, they know the conflict isn't over yet.
Back here in Africa, where the recent military coup in Guinea highlights the nature of leadership in the continent.
Conde has been accused by critics of corruption and profiting from the mineral-rich country while leaving the citizens in poverty. Security forces fired live rounds to disperse the demonstrators. Coup leaders have removed regional governors and replaced them with military commanders. Any defiance will be treated as an act of rebellion.
Okay, just over a year to remind you, there have been three military coups, two in Mali and one in Guinea. There's also been unsuccessful attempts as well in Niger and Sudan.
Israel says it's massing troops on the border with Gaza and calling up thousands of reservists ahead of a possible ground invasion of the Hamas-ruled territory. The death toll in this conflict is rising.
On Monday, around 6 p.m. local time, it began firing rockets. Israel swiftly launched multiple strikes in return.
On the ground, residents picked through the destruction caused by days of Israeli airstrikes.
There have been clashes at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. Hamas is launching rocket attacks on Israel. Israel's carrying out airstrikes in Gaza. And the funerals have begun, with deaths on both sides.
The conflict between Israel and Hamas is escalating.
Prince Harry has just publicly addressed the decision by him and his wife Meghan to leave their royal lives behind.
Our hope was to continue serving the Queen, the Commonwealth, and my military associations, but without public funding. Unfortunately, that wasn't possible. I will always have the utmost respect for my grandmother, my Commander-in-Chief, and I am incredibly grateful to her and the rest of my family for the support they have shown Meghan and I over the last few months.
Buckingham Palace has confirmed that the Duke and Duchess of Sussex will not be returning as working members of the royal family.
And also concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be when he's born.
What?
They did not stand up for their own, because their own was married to a black woman, had a black child. They didn't listen to him inside of the royal family. They let him go. They let him leave the country. They wouldn't come to terms with what they wanted to do.
Morgan stormed off his morning show on Tuesday amid very heated discussions about Markle.
I thought it was 2 hours of disingenuous, horrible, one-sided, self-serving, delusional claptrap. But the inferences in this interview that the royal family is harboring racists, and in particular that one of them may be the Queen, because Meghan Markle lies.
Don't believe almost anything that comes out of her mouth, and I think the damage she's done to the British monarchy and to the Queen at a time when Prince Philip is lying in hospital is enormous.
Over 24,000 people this year have illegally entered Britain, and this is an ongoing direct threat to our national security.
Local time to reports of a stabbing. It happened in Lyon-Sea. We have the confirmed death of the MP, Sir David Amos.
The Conservative MP, Sir David Amos, has been stabbed to death while conducting a constituency surgery in Essex. A 25-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of murder. Sir David, who was 69, died from multiple wounds, and the knife was recovered at the scene in a church in Lyon-Sea.
As Health Secretary, Matt Hancock had the most important job in government when the country's greatest peacetime crisis struck. His credibility ultimately strained to breaking point by his own actions. Hancock was central to setting the terms of lockdowns that put unprecedented restrictions on personal freedoms and policed the most intimate elements of people's lives. In the second wave, when mixing remained illegal indoors, Hancock told people not to hug their grandma. A newspaper front page a few days later told a different story. Matt Hancock's personal transgressions in public office proving an offence even Boris Johnson could not forgive.
Those of us who make these rules have got to stick by them, and that's why I've got to resign.
Britain's Prime Minister Boris Johnson has apologised for showing a video which shows his staff joking about a Christmas party last year at No. 10 Downing Street, which was in the middle of the coronavirus lockdown.
No. It was a business meeting.
And we know there was a Christmas party.
And it was not socially distanced.
The video is so damaging for Boris Johnson because for a week he's defended those in it, just as he defended Matt Hancock and Dominic Cummings, and it's left him exposed.
And Buckingham Palace has just announced that the Duke of Edinburgh has died. He was 99 years old.
His Royal Highness passed away peacefully this morning at Windsor Castle. Prince Philip was the longest-serving royal consort in British history. He was at the Queen's side for more than 70 years.
It was a breathtaking goodbye. Under the bluest of skies, polished metal glinted, and heads were bowed. As what you might call the Duke's second family, 700 members of the British Armed Forces waited to say farewell to a serviceman, a naval officer, and one of the last veterans of the Second World War.
Perfect way to end the series of montages that Sam and company have prepared for the end of this calendar year. You watch through all of that, and it certainly shows that this is definitely not God's world. And of course, that's what your Bible has to say. It's Satan's world. Satan is the reason this world is the way it is. Satan is the reason that we watch world events. Christ told us to do this. Satan, of course, is stirring up all kinds of anger and wrath and hatred and violence. And Jesus said, now watch these events. Pay attention. And know when we're near, when we're even at the doors of the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Know when Jesus Christ's return is upon us. Richard Palmer, by the way, he for the last several years has been writing an end of the year article based upon all of the writings of my father from this past year. He had four themes that he drew attention to. The title of it is What You Need to Learn from 2021. And that's at the front page of our website. If you scroll down a bit and get to the columnists, just hunt for Richard Palmer, and then you'll see that that's his latest. But he talks about some of the themes that my father emphasized or concentrated on this past year, the spiritual reality behind America's decline. You certainly see that. You certainly see that in the first montage that we played yesterday, as some of you wrote in and said, that was hard to watch. It was hard to watch. Bitter infliction indeed. And there's a spiritual reality behind it. That last bit from the montage you just saw, there's also a spiritual reality behind Britain's royal family. Meghan Markle doesn't see this. Prince Harry, he doesn't see it. Well, even the Queen. They don't understand why that institution's coming under attack. Satan wants to blot it out. A spiritual dimension behind Britain's royal family. My father's also, Richard brings this out, he's also written this year about Europe and how that it's about to be hijacked. The stage is set for the Daniel Eight Man to make his appearance. And then, as Richard brings out too, my father's also, of course, emphasized that there is hope. That hope is in the return of Jesus Christ. When Christ returns, he's going to put away the devil for good. The devil's going to be bound, chained for 1,000 years. And a new government, a new world, in fact, will be established. A few emails from some that saw the year in review yesterday. Awesome job. Brilliant year in review. Thank you for all the hard work. As always, grateful for all of you. Keep up the great work. Another one here says, yes, every host of all the KPCG shows, all of them are awesome. No space telescope is needed to behold the unmatched beauty and awe of God's work and church, even from the other side of his footstool. That comes from one of our longtime listeners. Another one here says, the show began today with mentioning avoiding the noise. It felt like divine inspiration. Thank you so much for being representative of God's light, the light he brings in our lives. Another one here says, and I alluded to this already, it says, yesterday's montage was hard to watch. So much corruption, so many corrupt people. I thought we were God's nations. No wonder God is turning his back on us. Human race, he says, is self-destructing. Another one here says, I'm a huge fan of the Trumpet Daily. Keep telling the truth and never stop for anyone, please. Just printed an article by you from 2007, As in the Days of Noah, as it's one of my all-time favorite articles from your website. The website, of course, is thetrumpet.com. You can get to the podcast for this show at thetrumpet.com/live. It says here, another one writes, in the episode aired on December 29th, I was astonished by how you teach about stirring up the Holy Spirit and putting it parallel to circulation as of blood, a nonstop process in the living body. It says also mentioning spiritual tools like daily prayer and diligent Bible reading, meditation, occasional fasting, and fellowship with Christians to fuel the indwelling Holy Spirit continually are worth the efforts to maintain and activate it. It is worth it. Another one writes here, you're a great Bible teacher. First, I love you so much when you say the fake president this or the fake president that. It makes me laugh. Well, we've had quite a year with a lot of variety, lots of content, a few laughs along the way, lots of riveting footage, as you've seen over the last couple of programs. And I'm sure as we head into 2022, there's going to be much more where all of that came from. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Send us some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.